You've waited all week, and now the wait is over. It's the only unfiltered media podcast in America. This is Trash Talk on WEEI.com. Here he is, your boy, Blind Mike. Blind Mike.
Are you saying me talk?
Yes.
This son of a bitch. So
I didn't want to talk over you at the beginning, but I mean, if we'll play like that if that's how you want.
This son of a bitch. Well, first of all, after last week's unmitigated disaster, just an utter failure by Dan Watkins last week, an abysmal performance.
What are you talking about?
You think we have Kirk Minahan on? You want to follow that up with a good episode, and it was just utter horseshit.
Yeah.
Entirely Dan's fault.
Yep.
And this week, I had an idea, and we've got some funny reamer drops to play. Hit it, Dan.
Sorry.
Oh.
Can't.
Oh, we don't have anything.
No, we don't.
So, reamer bailed again. And I'm working with complete incompetence, so I don't know what to do here.
What are you talking about? I came prepared this week.
What do you mean? What do you mean by that?
Well, besides, listen.
What do you mean by that? Where's the sound? Did the intro even play? I have no idea.
It did. I heard it.
He's waving at a blind man saying start. go ahead. What's your big preparation?
Well, now that we're in our fourth studio today, trying to do this because the Red Sox pregame, apparently.
John Ryder. Who the fuck is John Ryder to kick me out of my studio?
Yeah.
You get out.
Yeah, we got Triumph.
You get the hell out of here.
We got Triumph by Red Sox pregame.
Yeah.
But anyways, I printed out 57 sheets of paper for today's show.
I'm sure each one more useless than the other.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure when I cue you to talk about them, you're not going to know what I'm talking about.
Well, that's not my fault. That's your fault for poor explanation and setting things up horribly.
I can imagine most people do drown out what I'm saying.
I am a man of the people.
That's true.
And they agree with me.
Yeah. So fucking saboteur. Dave Portnoy's lapdog, Dan Watkins. Yeah. So Reamer not here again, as you can tell.
Big time, yeah.
I'm starting to think this is a bit. I can smell my the old peepers may not be that good, but I can smell a bit coming from miles away.
Can you?
And I'm smelling a bit here.
Huh.
Because last Friday they say on Kirk and Callahan, Alex Reamer coming back Tuesday. Reamer tells me I'm coming back Tuesday. But over the weekend, I hear from a very unreliable source that Reamer said, I'm not coming back Tuesday. This is all a bit. Hmm. Now, isn't that interesting?
Interesting.
Mind you, source, incredibly unreliable. Maybe the most unreliable. But
is it who I think it is?
Yes.
Oh, God.
But I'm willing to stake an episode on me saying that this is fact. So
really? From him?
Yeah. Well, you know, if they're doing bits, I'll do them too, baby.
I mean, the thing is, though, is that if we did get Reamer on this podcast, it would be
like... You say his name wrong every time.
Is it
Reamer? It's Alex Reamer, yeah.
Reamer?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
But continue.
If we get Reamer on this podcast, you know, it would kind of be like an AA meeting.
But why is that?
Because we've all been on this other person's podcast.
Oh, right.
Like a recovery.
Yeah. We're all low enough.
Yeah. That we've all...
Our life is all shit enough that we've done this other person's podcast.
Yeah.
So...
Hey, so is some NBA All-Stars.
It's been... We'll get to that. Oh, yeah, that's right. This is the kid we're talking about. I don't want to say his name because I don't want to give him the credit. But he's one of these guys. He had Andre Drummond on his podcast. And he's one of these white guys that when they're in the room with a black guy, yo, my man, what's crack-a-lackin'? It's like, all right, you can talk to the guy like a fucking human being. You don't have to change your entire persona because there's an African-American in the room. But...
You might as well just shut your phone off now because as soon as he hears it.
That'll be great. Yeah. Check out Impaired if you want to know who I'm talking about, my other podcast. There's an episode with an idiot on it. And that's the one. So Reamer bailed again. I'm starting to think this is a bit. They made it seem like management's keeping him out. They wanted to break him into the studio. I think he's coming back. So my last correspondence with Reamer was that once he does K&C, or once he's back on in some capacity, I think is all he said. So once he's doing weekends or nights again or whatever, he'll be back. I mean, he'll be on the podcast.
Hmm.
Do I believe it?
Do you?
At this point, I don't know.
I don't.
He's used me like so many Montreal bathhouse attendees. Did I use that line last week?
You did.
Damn it.
I think a couple times.
He used me like so many something else clever.
Why were you asking me? I thought I don't pay attention.
Well, it was so hilarious the first time I used it.
Oh, you thought that might slip through?
It seeped into your brain.
Yeah.
So, Reamer hopeful will be on eventually. I don't know. I don't know why they don't let him back. I don't get it. It's weird. You know, I'm joking around, busting his ball. He doesn't need to do this podcast. I appreciate it if he would. And when he does, I will appreciate it. But he doesn't need to. What he wants is Kirk and Callahan, or at least the weekends or whatever. I don't get why they don't let him on. He didn't really do anything that bad. He maybe did something dumb. I even at this point have a hard time calling what Reamer did dumb, because it was a throwaway line. If you read it in print, it looks bad. Oh, he called Brady's daughter a piss. Oh my God. If you hear it, it's a throwaway. He's making a joke. He's trying to be wacky. He really wasn't that bad. Let the kid back. He paid his penalty. You know what I mean? He didn't commit a crime. He didn't go on a racist tirade. Made a dumb joke that was kind of taken poorly. And maybe should have been by Brady, certainly. Brady doesn't need to hear that nonsense. But for the rest of us to be offended by it, go fuck yourselves. Let the kid back, for God's sake. This is a guy who's been blown off by him saying that. Don't take that out of context. Real quick, before I get to the other national, we have to discuss national news.
We do.
Because we're not allowed to talk about Boston, and we don't have Reamer in. So, but real quick, before any of that, I want to say congrats to my boy across the street now, former Entercommy, Christian Arcand. Full-time on 98.5 now. Did you see that?
I did. He was in the betting game of who was going to take that spot.
Yeah.
It
made sense.
He would have been my choice.
Yeah. I mean, he's the best there. He's better than John Wallach. Not better than Jim Murray.
Well,
he's better than any of the other Flash guys.
It's a glorified headline spot.
Yeah, which is weird but at least on that show, he's going to be able to talk.
Yeah.
I assume, because I know with Keith, they always talked.
Yeah.
I don't really ever listen to that show.
I do.
All I know about Adam Jones is that I know Minahan destroys him and says he's terrible at his job. So there must be something personal there, because the only reason I say that is because the few times I've listened to Adam Jones, it didn't inspire any reaction out of me.
I enjoy his show.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That someone like you would like.
Yeah. He's overly negative about everything to a point that it's funny.
But is it an act? I don't listen to enough to know.
I think
but
it
I
is.
Know everyone calls him Mini Felger. So is
the
it,
Dark
does it
Knight.
Come off as
no,
real?
He's more negative than Felger.
Yeah.
Much more negative than Felger.
But is it an act or no? Does it
I
come
think
off
so.
As,
I mean, you know, his whole he's the Vulture, the Dark Knight. That's his deal.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know why Minahan bashes him so hard, because I've never inspired a reaction. I've listened to him and I think, oh, it's whatever.
Yeah, maybe they met up once and
maybe
didn't
I don't
like
know
each other.
I don't know, but Arcand should have added something to that show. I mean, he can't do a mean Susan Waldman impression like Rich Keefe. Which, by the way, that Susan Waldman impression gets so much praise. It's terrible.
Keefe's?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's.
I don't get why people think it's funny. It's horrendous. At least Adam Jones's John Sterling kind of sounds like him.
Yeah.
It's at least a deep broadcaster voice. Keefe's Susan Waldman is god awful. It's annoying. Like, it's not funny.
Right.
I don't get why that got so much praise. So slide old Christian Arcand in there. He's not going to do any of that wacky Keefe's Keys or Keefer Madness or any of that stuff.
Please, no.
He's good. He's an actual good. He'll be a good addition to that show for once.
Yeah, and I think he gets his own weekend show now too, right?
I think he already had that though.
Did he?
He was already on weekends. I don't know if it was his own. I think it was him and Joe Murray.
Oh, right.
Jim Murray's slow stepbrother or whatever he is. But I like Christian Arcand. Good for him. He's one of only three guys I can really say gave me a decent shot in this business. Portnoy and Robbie Bradford being the other two.
Hmm.
Arcand put me on the air. He's the only guy who ever put me on the air consistently. So I'm appreciative of him. And now my goal is to take over Mutt's slot and destroy both him and Adam Jones.
Oh,
and then
go.
That Christian Arcand can come to me groveling for a job, and I'll give it to him because, you know, I owe him a debt. And that's how I build my friendships. I tear people down and build them back up.
Oh, so that's what you're doing with me?
Yes. And eventually I'll pummel you into submission.
I don't know.
And you'll be the beaten man that I need you to be to actually produce a good show. So you've got a lot of notes.
I do have a lot of notes.
Let's hear them. What do you have notes on?
Where do we want to start?
Well, we've neglected because we had Minahan and LB, and then the just disaster of last week. So all June has kind of been booked.
Right.
So we haven't had a chance to get to the skyrocket to the moon that has been High Noon.
The mothership?
Yes.
On the mothership. Well, first, do you want to talk about, you want to start with that, or you want to start with 6 p.m. Sports Center?
So what's the deal with 6 p.m. Sports Center? It's doing well.
Very well. So,
and they've been singing its praises over there.
So well that ESPN put out a press release on how well they're doing.
Right. I saw an awful announcing. They're like, ESPN's getting criticized for that? I don't get it.
I think it's because, you know, it's because people, I guess, are like, see what happens when you get away from politics.
It's not even that. It's just to one person who's awful at that job in Michael Smith.
Right.
And the other person who just didn't have the right. Jemele Hill, I think, could be good if you put her with Schilling or someone like that. You know what I mean? Honestly.
You just want chaos.
I do. Some people, you know, Dan, some people like to watch the world burn.
Yeah, that's right.
But honestly, that would be an entertaining show. It would last a week and a half because Schilling would say something awful and get fired again.
And then it'd be on Periscope.
But yeah, exactly.
Do you watch Schilling
and
on Periscope?
Be fun. No, I did.
Not
for
him either.
I did for a minute. And
you
then
did?
I was like, not his Breitbart show, but like when he first started doing
right.
this, when he was just like watching games in his house, I watched for like a little while.
Yeah.
And then I was like, okay.
Anything interesting?
I get it, Kurt. The liberals are ruining the country. I get it. I don't even totally disagree with you, but fucking relax. We understand.
But anyway, so the press release.
So yeah.
Viewers are responding to the 6 p.m. Sports Center with the program on track for 4 consecutive months of year-over-year viewership growth.
What does that mean? Year-over-year?
So, months of year-over-year.
I don't have any idea what that means.
Neither do I.
All right, continue.
But anyways, I basically think that it's four straight months. Of increased ratings since they got rid of Get Up.
Right.
Or not Get Up. That's coming. Foreshadowing.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Since they got rid of the six.
With Sage Steele and Kevin Negandhi taking over as consistent anchors on May 14th, the program averaged 531,000 viewers. The 6 p.m. Sports Center has been keying in on delivering fans up to the minute news, previews, and analysis of the night slate of games and events.
So they're just doing exactly what they did before.
What they used to do, yeah.
It's weird. It's like... you know, when there's a weird thing where they try and shake up the formulas where it's like, well, if we make this Sports Center anchor a personality, you see with Greenberg,
right?
Beadle was never a Sports Center anchor, but got, you know, Beadle and Katie Nolan and these people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, let's make them into a personality that can carry a show. Jemele Hill.
Michael well, I think, Smith. I think the big thing is, you know, SVP took off and it actually worked.
Right.
So now they think they can do it with others.
Right, but it's like SVP is kind of a funny guy.
Yeah, he's been around.
He's
forever.
Interesting.
He's been around forever.
He's good at his job.
Yeah, he's always Scott Van Pelt has always been a Sports Center host.
Right,
and he's done his own radio show too, which I think that naturally kind of fits into being able to be a
personality. He knows how to talk for an hour or 2 hours
right.
or whatever. So there's a thing where they think now we can just make Sports Center anchors personality. What they went back to is let's just have Sports Center, but not make it the Sage Steele and Kevin Negandhi show.
Right.
It's just SportsCenter.
Right. And I think
that's not that great. The 500,000 viewers is not lighting the world on fire.
No.
But it's for 6 in the afternoon, it's fine.
Compared to what they were doing, yeah.
Right.
I mean, another thing with SVP's show is it's on at 11 o'clock at night when people are looking for that more of that kind of show.
Sure.
At 6 o'clock, no, it's okay.
But here's the problem with all the Trump stuff and the political stuff is I think anything that one-sided, unless it's in the venue it's supposed to be. Like, if you look at Fox News, everything's that one-sided. You look
right.
at MSNBC, everything's that one-sided. That's supposed to be that way. If you look at SportsCenter, it's people from everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
People from all walks of life. Black people, white people, Chinese people, blind people and sighted people, all of us.
Yeah.
Joined together at ESPN. So, when you have a show that leans so far one way, it's going to alienate half your viewers. And then the ones that stay for the political reasons are going to realize this isn't that interesting. They're kind of just saying things I agree with. Get back to I'm watching this for sports.
I mean, yeah, exactly.
I could watch it for the political aspect of sports if there's an interesting discussion.
I've never met someone that's too, like, I'm going to watch ESPN to listen to politics.
Right.
I've never. Like,
right.
Especially at 6 o'clock at night, you can get that on any other station. Doing
right,
the news.
Which would be more entertaining.
Right.
Because they're.
And more factual.
Because they're, quote unquote, but
right.
experts in in the field.
Right. Where people
Jemele Hill is not, and Michael Smith certainly is not.
Where people turn to SportsCenter to get away as an escape.
Sure.
For those that don't want to do
an escape, yes. Yeah. Very, very well said.
Like me. That's why I go there.
So I think maybe they're seeing we don't necessarily need to be polarizing. I think a lot of other places are going to see that, where it's like, if you're good at it, like Kirk and Callahan, for example, if you're good at that type of show, do that type of show. If you're not, like Felger and Maz, and you're good at just sticking to sports, which they are, they look at their ratings, they are good at that, then I guess just stick to sports. As much as people might say, hey, go outside. I do find it baffling that I don't even know if Felger and Maz have ever mentioned Trump's name.
They did during the
election.
That
is pretty crazy.
During the election, I remember them talking about it.
Well, good for them. That's it. 2 years ago. That's pretty crazy. But hey, their ratings don't lie. They're good at sticking to sports. So the problem is when you try and make people do things that they're not good at.
Right.
It's not a matter of this show has to talk politics or this show has to talk sports. It's when you're making Michael Smith be on a pseudo-political show, and he's not capable of doing that.
So basically, to take out all of this, and we're going on to my next sheet of paper.
Okay.
Page
sheet
two.
Sheet two of 57.
Of 57. Evenings, doing well. Mornings and midday, not so much.
Abysmal.
Yeah, not so much.
Yes.
Headline.
Well, Get Up, we knew Get Up was going to be a disaster.
But now we can talk about my new favorite show on ESPN.
High Noon.
High Noon. Which, just to start off, if anybody out there, if you've watched it, I don't know what the hell, like, they're trying to make a movie or something.
So you've seen it. Where'd you say you saw it?
At the gym. It's right on in the background.
I imagine. How many people, roughly? I don't want to spoil. Let's say 100,000 people, roughly, watch High Noon.
Sure.
I imagine every single one of those is a bar or a gym.
I'd have to think so, too.
Because I see them anytime you go into a bar or a gym during the day, ESPN is on.
Yeah.
Anywhere else, no one has ever said to me, hey, just see, I saw on Get Up this morning, or I saw on High Noon earlier. I've never heard those words uttered.
Right.
In fairness, High Noon's only had less than a month. But you see my point.
But no, okay,
I don't know who's watching this even outside of bars and gyms.
I don't think I've ever heard anybody say, hey, did you see what Bomani Jones said? Outside of his, like, the Patriots are racist takes that
right
he has.
Where it's like, how old does that get?
Yeah. But anyways, headline, Get Up and High Noon both hit ratings lows. So, Get Up.
You can hear, I don't know if you can hear that, folks. He's shuffling papers.
I am. I'm shuffling papers.
To prove how much he's highlighted. Continue.
Yes. But anyways, Get Up and High Noon, the two shows aired on Thursday and Friday of last week and both hit all-time viewership lows, failing to crack 200,000 viewers. So ESPN can't even get 200,000 people to watch original programming on its main network. This isn't ESPN 2
right,
or ESPN News. It's on ESPN.
Less than 200,000.
Yes. So Get Up had just 197,000 viewers this past Thursday from 7 to 10 a.m. Eastern Time, a whopping 33% off the ratings ESPN had at the traditional Sports Center airing at the same time in the exact same week, June week, last year.
To put that into perspective, there are a lot of podcasts that you've never heard of.
Right.
That get 100,000 downloads a week.
Really?
Yes.
This one?
Easily. It's up there. I'll talk to Bradford.
Oh.
See what the numbers are.
Good.
It's close. But no, there are a lot of podcasts that you've never heard of that get 100,000 downloads a week. So essentially, they're doing unknown, obscure podcast numbers on the worldwide leader in sports. That's pretty fucking insane. And the sad thing is what they're going to do is just add Katie Nolan to the Bomani show. Mm. Or, you know what I mean, just substitute Mike Greenberg with Robert Flohr. I don't know. I don't know any Sports Center anchors anymore. But some generic broadcaster. And it's going to be the same shit. And then eventually, although I'll say maybe this new John Skipper, whatever his name is, Jimmy.
Yeah.
Jimmy the Greek, whatever the fuck his name is.
Yep.
He seems to be doing it. He seems to be getting it. And maybe the six is a trend that they're going towards where they're like, hey, we're not going to keep doing this shit. Because I think Bomani and Pablo was that was still a John Skipper creation, right?
I believe so. I think you're the one that told me that.
I think so, yeah. So it could be completely untrue. So I just say things.
You want to talk about you want to hear their ratings?
Yeah, let's hear it.
So
now, Get Up gets what?
So that was 197,000.
197,000.
That's at 10 a.m.
Okay, let's take you through the day. Okay. That ends at 10 a.m. Then the one talent they have left in mornings comes on.
Max Kellerman.
That's not who I was referring to, but yes.
Oh.
Screaming A. Smith.
Will Kane.
Yes. Stephen A. Smith comes on at, what time's First Take start? 10?
10. 10 to 12.
Okay. So
he is the gap. He bridges the gap.
It's the equivalent of this to me is like when the Sixes lead in was Kornheiser and Wilbon. Kornheiser and Wilbon, still talented guys. They do an okay show. Not what it was 15 years ago, but it's fine.
Yep.
And the drop off would be tremendous for the Six. Now You've got Stephen A. Smith in the mornings. So you start at, you end 10 o'clock, 197,000 viewers. What do you go up to with Stephen A. Smith?
On Thursday, First Take produced 308,000.
So, again, not tremendous. Not a Seinfeld finale numbers.
But 111,000 more people.
But Stephen A. Smith is scraping everyone he can. Please, come on. Come back, folks. Listen to me for 2 hours. So he gets up to 308.
Yep.
Nice lead-in.
Right.
Keep on building. Because, don't forget, 10 o'clock is still middays. 10 to noon is middays.
Yep.
So it's not like there's a bunch of people turning off their TVs at that time. If you're home at noon, you're home at 1, usually.
Right.
So he builds it up to 300,000. What do Bomani and Pablo do with that?
That Thursday, they posted 193,000 viewers, which was down a whopping 47% from a noon sports center last year.
193?
Yeah, 193.
Okay.
So that's 4,000 less than Get Up.
Yes.
And that's, what was that, 115?
Yeah.
115,000. Less.
So 150,000 people turn off their televisions.
Then the peak.
Turn off their televisions.
First
the second Stephen A. Smith leaves the screen.
And if you want to get even funny, dive a little deeper into the competition at this point where people might be watching at this time. An episode of Blaze and the Monster Machines airing head-to-head on Nickelodeon at the same time drew 926,000 viewers.
Now, what is that? Can you give us a summary of that program? Because it sounds pretty good.
I'm guessing it's one of those Nickelodeon
preschools.
Is it a
cartoon?
I'm guessing it's got to be one of those preschools.
You're losing to, not just losing to a cartoon, High Noon, but you're losing by 400%?
Dude, I mean
500%, whatever it is?
Listen, 10 to noon is like, that is prime time preschool television.
That's true.
So like they get out of
kindergartners are getting out of school.
Right, you know, they get home.
First half of the day.
Right.
That's fair.
You know, they're sitting there drinking their juice box.
Yes.
You know?
So they got some work to do at ESPN.
I mean,
but I think Sarah Spain has found the way to do it.
Well, by going after a former ESPN colleague? Well,
yes.
Well, this all started with Ed
Early Warder.
He's not with ESPN anymore, right?
Was I don't he know. Off? I'm guessing, based on these comments, I'm guessing no.
Or
because God forbid you say anything.
Or shortly, or soon he won't be.
Right.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if you... So,
we're on what, page 76?
Yeah, we're getting close, man. I mean, I have papers all over the place now. If you could see this, if we did a live stream of this, it'd be a mess.
So some gal from Sports Illustrated.
ESPN, what was it, Mina Kimes?
Yes. She's from ESPN or Sports? She's from SI, right?
Or no, she tweeted something. SI posted a job listing.
Right.
And Charlotte Wilder.
Right. I forgot Charlotte, which so, Jerry Callahan was sexually harassing her, if I recall, at the Super Bowl.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Big time. That's what I heard.
Well, he still has a job.
Same source as the Reamer thing. But
oh.
Continue.
I'll ask you that off. Anyways, so this all starts out with that job posting, and Charlotte Wilder tweets out, "If you can stand sitting near me in an office, this is a very cool opportunity, especially if you're a woman trying to get into sports. You should message me. DMs are open." Warder decided, well, you know, maybe I'll just tweet about this.
Yeah.
So he quote tweets her, "So men need not apply. Any others ineligible?"
Here's what I'll say about that first before we keep going. He's right in that.
Right, but she wasn't meaning that.
No, but well, there is a thing where it's become, let's get a woman in there. You saw it with Jess Mendoza.
Right.
Let's get a girl because there aren't any. Hey, sometimes, once in a while, not always, once in a while, a guy might be best suited for a particular job. That's not necessarily a bad thing.
All right.
So there is a thing where it's like, hey, let's just get a girl in. Let's find a woman. Anyone with a vagina, come on in. If there's a slip between your legs, please, come on over.
Oh.
We've got a job open for you.
Hello.
Dan gets very scared when I say anything.
I do.
When I say, just know it, these aren't Dan's words. He's a frightened boy.
I am.
But there's a thing where it's like, hey, let's just get a girl. And Ed Werder, recognize. But what this girl from SI is saying, what's her name again? I'm sorry.
Charlotte Mina? Wilder.
No. The girl that tweeted.
Mina. Charlotte Wilder was the original, but then Mina Kimes was who Ed was arguing with.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. So what Mina was saying is not, she wasn't even really saying that. She's just like, hey, I'd like a girl in sports. You know, I'd like to give a gal a chance. Which is like, she's not even the one hiring, so what does it really matter that she said that?
So you ready? Want to go through the back and forth now?
Yes.
All right. So Charlotte tweets back at Ed. Oh, wow, you're right, Ed. Sorry for attempting to make sports media more than 10% female. My bad. Werder responds.
Hold on. Let me argue with each of them.
Which, this was your point.
Yeah. I want to argue with both of them. The 10% thing, maybe only 10% of qualified people that are applying are women. And, you know, maybe they're just not drawn to that profession in the same number that men are. Is that a horrible thing? I don't know, but it doesn't really seem that terrible. Is there a number of qualified women that are being turned away? Because that's wrong. But if not, let's fucking relax with the percentages. So what is Ed Werder replying?
I just always associated SI with hiring the best regardless of race, sex, and other factors.
I agree with that.
Wilder.
But it's also not Ed Werder's job to police that. There's also a thing where I do kind of hate guys where it's like any opportunity to just be like, what about men? Men are underrepresented now. We're the minorities. It's like, oh, well, you can fucking relax too. Because Ed Werder, why is he attacking this girl? Maybe he thinks he lost his job at ESPN for the same reason. But I don't know that to be true. So maybe Ed Werder has an axe to grind. So then, Charlotte, just keep going. What's the next reply? I'm losing my fucking mind.
Well, unfortunately, a lot of women and people of color who are the best often get passed over during the hiring process at every publication.
Now,
so it's important to make the extra effort.
I find that to be, in this day and age, wildly untrue. Years ago, 1,000,000% that was the case. Now, do you think that's true where at every profession, qualified minorities and women are applying and they're just going with white guys?
No.
It doesn't. That seems, if she believes that, that's shocking to me. Because that doesn't seem to be the case. More and more, not even in broadcasting, in, you know, on TV shows, in every form of media, you see more and more where they're not only trying to hire women and minorities, almost exclusively. You see more TV shows on Netflix and Amazon and all this where it's exclusively. Where the show, I noticed this the other day, the show Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt that I love, a show that I like a lot, there's not a single straight white male character on there that isn't a complete moron or monster. But it's like, I still like the show. You know what I mean? So who really cares? But that is a fact that people are trying to be much more progressive to the point where qualifications almost matter less sometimes.
Right.
So is there a response to this one from Ed Early Werder?
Oh, so you're saying the rest of the industry is racist and sexist except for you?
I got to be honest, this Ed Werder's. I tried to argue both sides. Ed Werder's got me on his side, baby. Team Ed. He's a little, you know, he's jumping in there for no reason, but the points he's making are pretty much true. Is there any more to this?
Oh, yeah. We're going to get you up. So,
let's hear it.
Charlotte Wilder, can you even read? It's truly outstanding that, in all caps, is what you're taking away from these tweets. Ed Werder responds, just read aloud.
What else is there to take away from it, Charlotte?
Just read aloud what you wrote. You essentially made it clear that you're excluding males regardless of ability. I read the words you wrote, and he typed red in all caps.
See, that's where he's getting a little defensive. That's not what you said.
So with that,
that's not what you said.
With that tweet, Mike.
Yeah.
Is where WEI Kirk and Callahan's show friend Britt McHenry decides to chime in.
My girl.
She love quote tweets.
Now, Dan says, I love Britt McHenry, no matter what she looks like. Dan says,
Without makeup,
not so great.
No.
That's Dan's take, not mine.
That's mine.
I don't know about that.
On Instagram, without makeup.
I don't see beauty, Dan. I don't. That's my stance.
That's true.
I don't see color. I don't see looks.
Extenuating
I don't see
circumstances.
Yeah.
It's not by choice.
Britt McHenry, I stand by. What did Britt have to say?
Ed Werder is the most talented NFL reporter I've ever met. He just made the Pro Football Hall last year.
Blah, blah, blah. Yeah,
as a woman.
He's a great guy.
I, too, can say the best applicant should get the job regardless of race or gender. Reality is in the media. Those two things often get pushed first now. Never once did my parents say apply or try out because you're a girl. They told me to apply because I'm a hard worker.
Right.
At ESPN, I never wanted to write for ESPNW. I wanted to be on the same page as the men. Truly equal, novel concept, .. hashtag Ed Werder.
He's right.
At this point now, we have a fourth party chiming in.
Ooh, boy. This is getting juicy. Ed Werder's in some hot water here.
Yeah.
He's got three broads going after. Actually, no, Brit's on his
side. He's got one supporter.
Yeah.
And now he's got two going. Well, now.
Ed Werder's in quite a foursome is what I was trying to say. Continue.
Sarah Spain.
Yes.
Chimes in. Quoting Britt McHenry, quoting Ed
as
Werder.
Liberal as they come.
The first half.
I am guessing she must agree with Britt, right? That's where she's defending her gal, Britt McHenry. Obviously.
Yeah, sure, maybe. Yeah. The first half of your tweet has nothing to do with the second half. I don't know a single woman who has told the interview / audition / tryout because you're a girl. That doesn't even make sense in an industry that's
that is what she said.
Basically. A long way to go to achieve equal representation.
I'd like to work with a girl, is what she said.
As for ESPNW, men and women, again with all caps. And, oh, in parentheses, and non-binary folks, don't forget them.
She did not say that.
She did too.
I didn't know that.
Mike, I have notes, and I'm reading off them.
I didn't realize
I came prepared with these tweets.
And non-binary and
now,
folks.
And now you're questioning the notes that I have.
Oh, how embarrassing. Sarah, stop working so hard to be progressive. Everyone gets it. You're open-minded. We understand. You don't have to work so hard to prove it all the time.
But anyway.
That's my problem with these people is it's nonstop bludgeoning you over the head with how open-minded they are. I will let anyone do anything. Do you understand? Yes, I get it. Just let me have my opinions too, for Christ's sake. Why is Britt McHenry's opinion less valid than yours? And you can throw in men and women and non-binary. What if people don't agree with you on everything? It's fine. Let people talk. I'm sorry, Sarah Spain. Keep going.
Can I talk?
Yes.
I lost my place.
Non-binary was where we left
right,
off.
Anyways. As for ESPNW, men and women and non-binary folks write for this site. It's not about being on a different page figuratively or less than. It's about having a space for female athletes and sports fans the same way ESPN...
Unless that female has any different political views than you.
The same way ESPN FC is specific to soccer. 538 to analytics, etc.
That's not the same. That's not the same.
P.S.
You're not saying certain people can't apply for that job. And the part that really bothers me is Britt McHenry's a piece of shit. She's the scourge of society because she doesn't align politically with Sarah Spain. It's like, you know what I mean? So that's where it really gets annoying is it's like, yes, if you're a woman and you think the same as me, we'd love to have you in this job. If not, go fuck yourself. Is there more to this?
There is.
All right.
But we're about to get juicy here.
All right.
But anyways.
Let's give us the abridged version, because I feel like we've gone on for a while.
Yeah, we're about to get to the insults.
Okay.
So P.S. The fact that you never took the time to understand and follow ESPNW and that you view the coverage of female athletes and female perspectives on major issues in sport as something less than is a sad reflection of how you see a woman and yourself.
That's Britt.
No, that was Sarah Spain. That was the P.S. Again,
okay.
Now Britt. Okay. Britt decides to...
worried my girl Britt went rogue for a minute.
She really decides to escalate things quite dramatically here. You broke, in quotation marks, into the industry by selling yourself as a date on social media to get .. Super Bowl tickets. You literally sold your body to get attention and then have the audacity to lecture women on feminism?
Yep.
I had opportunities to write for ESPNW and declined.
Attaway, Britt.
People make mistakes, but I'm not over here telling people how to park their cars. The audacity and hypocrisy is astounding. I am.
That's a funny line.
I am a female. I was an athlete. Think I'm good in understanding what that means. Now someone pick up the mic. Got things to do.
The parking cars thing is a pretty funny line. Because we've all seen Britt McHenry at a certain zone.
And then she tries to pull. Then we pull Barstool into this. Sarah Spain responds. And basically, I don't even know if this is over yet or if it's still going.
Jesus
ongoing.
Christ. No, but it's got to be done by now. This was days ago.
Maybe. I mean, June 18th, that was,
2 days ago.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Three.
But
anyways.
So.
That was page 57.
So that was 57?
Yeah, it was 57.
So we got the gist of it.
Yeah.
And basically, Britt McHenry I guess the problem with me is on certain things, I can't imagine thinking Britt McHenry is wrong about any of that. You know what I mean? I'm a fairly open-minded guy myself. But there's certain things like that where it's like, I don't get where Britt McHenry, where there's an argument against what she's saying.
Yep.
Like, it just seems right. Britt McHenry worked hard. I mean, you know what? Britt McHenry would probably admit this. Part of why Britt McHenry got a job is her looks also, which that's not fair. All this, here's the part that people should really be bothered by. is this entire battle is two gorgeous women that have both been hired by ESPN going at it about how women can't get hired. The problem should be, will they ever hire an ugly broad? Well, there will be the girl equivalent of me on ESPN. That's what they should be fighting for. Not two beautiful women saying it's impossible to get hired for women when they've both been hired. So, hopefully, the world will all look like Blind Mike, folks. That's what I say. And then, what do we have for time, Dan? Do I have time to,
No, we got to wrap up. We're getting kicked out of another studio.
Are we really?
Yep.
All right. Well, folks, it's been fun. I yelled for a little while. You know, we would have made fun of Alex Remo more, but Dan failed us immensely.
Yep.
Dan asked me the other day, he's applying for another job, and he asked me, what's our the best episode we've done production-wise? None of them. It's like saying, what's the best basketball game I ever played? They're all abysmal. But,
I don't know what you're talking about.
You know, whatever. Guys, subscribe to the iTunes. Give us a 5-star rating so I don't hurl myself off the top of 20 Guest Street. And as always, WEI.com, the WEI, or no, now the radio.com app, and wherever else you get podcasts. Avida Zane.